Thanks, Yantif. Good to be back. And so today I had the wonderful opportunity to have like quiet time in my office, and for like an hour and a half straight, solid, I was preparing tonight's shiur. And I still use Microsoft Word. I don't use Google Docs so much. And I was about to click save, and the whole thing disappeared. Like, all of a sudden, Microsoft Word closed. I'm like, oh, but it's going to open up, and it's going to be on the side again, and untitled, right? And no. Just like, it was showing, it was like, most recent document, September 6th. I'm like, well, what just happened? So, not really so prepared, so I'm going to ask your forgiveness, your indulgence, but we're not so organized, meaning it was more about organizing the material, but let's do this anyway, because, you know, we're here. So Shaila number one. I got a text from a Talmud of mine over Chol HaMoed. Hi, Rebbe. Not sure if you heard my voice note. He left me like a long voice note, so at some point, but I didn't remember the voice note at this point. Not sure if you heard my voice note, but basically, the man who built my mother's new house had promised to fix the basement after the flood a few weeks ago, and is now going back on his word. What the voice note said was that he wanted to know whether his mother asked like a lawyer, what should I do? And the lawyer said, nothing you could really do, because he just promised. He didn't. There's no obligation, but you can just leave a bad review for him online, and you know, and tell him that you're gonna say online exactly what happened, that he doesn't keep his promises, and that the rest of the story was, I asked the fellow to let me know. Oh, I actually have it in my WhatsApps. He told me the rest of the story is like this. Let's see. The story was, there it is. Hi, Rebbe. I had the following shaila. Recently, my mother purchased a new home from someone who had both built and owned the house. He is a non-religious Jew who's trying to build up his reputation in my community. It passed the inspection and all was fine. However, in her first week in the home, the basement flooded from light rain. The builder verbally promised her that if this problem occurred again, he would make sure to fix it. Fast forward about a month, Hurricane Ida hit. And the window in the basement smashed, and the basement had 9 inches of water. When my mother contacted the builder, he claimed he would fix it again. However, the very next day, my mother received a text from him saying, "I've been advised by my legal team." What's a legal team? What are they? A lawyer? Was he O.J. Simpson? He has a legal team. If your builder has a legal team, you need a new builder. Right? Your builder should not have a legal team. Anyways, he wrote, "I've been advised by my legal team," and then he flexed, to no longer be in contact with you regarding this matter. To which my mother asked a local lawyer, who said he's doing this because by letter of the law he doesn't have to pay and he's trying to save himself the thousands of dollars of repairs. The lawyer suggested that as a woman who lives in the town for over 20 years and has a good reputation, my mother should threaten to write a negative review and post it to local message boards. Is this permissible? She feels like it's rude and mean, but at the same time, she was told that this may help her save thousands of dollars. So that was the shaila. And then the fellow added in, when he sent the follow-up text, "My brother asked Rav Schechter if it's mutter to write reviews on this man for not being loyal, etc." And Rav Schechter responded, "My wife does it all the time." So, Rebbe, knowing Rav Schechter as well as he does, would Rebbe advise that we write a negative review? Okay, so that is shaila number one.
Is it a Jewish builder?
Yeah. Jewish non-religious builder, yes. Shaila number two. Another Talmud told me that that someone that is not from, is no longer religious, grew up religious, was actually serious yeshiva bachar at some point, but is no longer Torah observant, or not yet back to being Torah observant, right? What do they say? FFB, BTAB, from birth but took a break, right? So someone that is not from, and is, so this Talmud of mine told me, there's this guy who's not from, but he's friends with his brother, and he's no longer Shomer Shabbos. He used to be yeshiva bachar, was at somebody's house for a yontif meal, and they asked him to lead the zimun. Then they said, wait, are you Shomer Shabbos? And he said, no. And they said, like, you didn't even keep Rosh Hashanah? And he said, nope. Then they said, on second thought, we don't want you to lead the zimun. So he He said, "Mehechitesi." Like, you know, why shouldn't I lead the zimun? So they said, "It just doesn't seem right. We don't think you should be someone who's not Shomer Shabbos should be leading a zimun." They said, "Like, well, let's just get this clear. Like, you'd be mechal Shabbos in front of your rebbeim. Like, if you saw your rebbe from yeshiva, you'd be mechal, like, and you'd be mechal Shabbos. You wouldn't stop." He's like, no hesitation. I'd be mechal Shabbos in front of anybody. Like, if God Himself were here, guess what? He is. You know, like, I'd be mechal Shabbos in front of it. Like, doesn't bother me at all. So they said, "Well, sorry." He says, "But I believe in God. So, you know, when I say the bracha, like, I'm blessing Hashem. So, like, what's the problem with me leading the zimun?" So they were insistent, and they didn't allow him to lead the zimun. So he called up his frum friend, and he said, like, "Mehechitesi," right? Meaning, is there, was I right that I should be allowed to lead the zimun, or was this other fellow right? That was his shayla. Okay, so we have two shaylas. We have the frum builder, and whether Rebbetzin, we pass him like Rebbetzin Shechter, and then we have the non-from builder and the leaving a negative review for somebody online, and then we have having a person lead a zimun who's not Shomer Shabbos. So all who would prefer shaila number one about the builder and leaving negative reviews online in general about Jewish businesses, raise your hand. Okay, all who prefer shaila number two. Okay, so it looks like it's going to be shaila number two. Okay. So, first of all, in general, when a person says a bracha, and the person is not religious, the answer I mean to a bracha. The most common case where I get this shaila is you have at a wedding, they want to honor all the great uncles or something with a bracha, and they can't be, you know, the great uncles can't be edim, so they want to give them a kibud, so they give them a kibud of a bracha under the chuppah. But very often there's someone who's not Torah observant, so can you give them a bracha under the chuppah? So I asked Rav Shechter this once, and he told me that essentially, without using these words, he said it's a machlokas between himself and Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik would allow it. Because Rav Soloveitchik thought that as long as the person believes in God, so when they say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, they mean the same thing that you and I mean. It's just that they have a Yetzer Hara to also play golf on Shabbos and drive, you know, and drive there. So they believe in God, and therefore they're saying the bracha to God, and everyone has their own Yetzer Haras, and that's that person's Yetzer Haras, to be Mechal Shabbos and to eat Chazer, and my Yetzer Haras is to speak Lashon Hara about such people, you know, like whatever the Yetzer Hara that people have, but that's not indicative of the quality of the bracha. So you can answer amen to such a bracha. Rav Shechter thought that you should not allow it because the Rav Shechter views anyone who gets a bracha under the chuppah as co-officiating the wedding, as being like a partner in the Seder Kiddushin. And he says you shouldn't have someone who's not religious be, you know, it's like asking someone who's not religious to be Masada Kiddushin. You shouldn't do that. So that's a machlokas Rav Shechter of Soloveitchik. So I'll often tell people that and say, you know, Kedaihu Rav Soloveitchik Lismachalav, if it's going to cause Shalom Bias issues, that's for sure. So that's in that context. So over here, from that perspective, as far as if this fellow were to say any other bracha, if let's say at the meal he said Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, or you hear him benching, you would answer amen to his brachos, because his brachos are real, his brachos are genuine in some level. The question is, what about leading Zimun? Zimun might be a different story than brachos. And the truth is, the real sugya is not about leading Zimun. The real sugya is about participating in Zimun in the first place, whether you can even be mitzarif in Zimun, where this question would get even more complicated, because, okay, so if he's not going to lead Zimun, someone else will lead the Zimun. Where it would get more complicated is, what if you have two people and him? Does he count toward the Zimun? That's where you really got to, you know, put your money where your mouth is and see if, like, are you going to pass up an opportunity for Zimun because you hold that this person can't be mitzarif to a Zimun. That's the sugya in Shas. It's the sugya Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Zayinam days, where the Gemara talks about that an Ama Aretz is not mitzarif to a Zimun. You're not mitzarif an Ama Aretz to a Zimun. So the Gemara says, Ama Aretz? What's an Ama Aretz? Meaning, Rav Shechter once gave a shir about Lashon Hara in Shiduchim. Like, what kinds of things are you allowed to say, you know, about somebody in Shiduchim? So one of the points that he made is that you need to be speaking the same language as the person who's asking you about, you know, about the boy. So Rav Shechter said, sometimes I'll get a phone call and they'll ask, is the boy a Talmud Chacham? So Rav Shechter said, if you ask me, your rabbi is not a Talmud Chacham, but I'm not going to tell them that, because to them, the rabbi knows how to read even the Rashi script. Not only he knows the whole Aleph Beis even in Rashi script. So he's the biggest Talmud Chacham. So from their definition of a Talmud Chacham, you know, I'll say that he's a Talmud Chacham, because yes, the boy also knows how to read Rashi script. So yes, he's a Talmud Chacham. So you have to know the language that the person is speaking to respond to them on the level that they mean it. So the Gemara says, by the way, if that ever happened, that Rav Shachter told someone when they asked about a shidduch, is that you could bet, you know, that the girl's father is going to say, my son-in-law Rav Shachter said he's a Talmud Chacham, you know. So the Gemara says, so what's an amaretz? Meaning, if an amaretz is not allowed to be misarif to a zimun, you have to define what an amaretz is. So the Gemara has 8 shitos as to how we define amaretz. Shita number 1, the Gemara says, what's an amaretz? Someone who doesn't eat kachim betahara. That's shitas Reb Meir. Shita number 2, the Chum say, someone who doesn't take chumas and maestros properly. Shita number 3, Rabbi Lazar says, someone who doesn't say kriyash mashachris va'arvis, doesn't say kriyash mashachris va'arvis twice a day. Shita number 4, Rabbi Yeshua, someone who doesn't put on tefillin. Shita number 5, Ben Azai, someone who doesn't have tzitzis on his beged. Shita number 6, Rabbi Nassan, someone who doesn't have mezuzah al pischo, he doesn't have mezuzah on his door. Shita number 7, Rav Nassan bar Yosef, someone who has children but is not megadol them le Talmud Torah. He has children, but he decides not to send them to yeshiva, not to teach them Torah. So that's and then finally, acherim omrim, even if he learned mikra and mishnah, but he has not been mishamish talmidei chachamim, he's nama aretz. Someone who's learned mikra mishnah, not been mishamish talmidei chachamim. Now it is possible that the term shimush talmidei chachamim in the Gemara very often means learning Gemara. Because a lot of times it goes along, Mikra, Mishnah, Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. What happened to Talmud, right? So Shimush Talmidei Chachamim is how Talmud would happen, right? That's very often, that's what Rav Shachter pointed out to me once when he points out a lot, he writes in one of the Harav Svarim, I forgot which one, Nefesh Rav Panira, one of those Svarim, that Shimush Talmidei Chachamim doesn't mean that you pick up the Rebbe's dry cleaning. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim means that you spend enough time to pick up on the Hanhagos and the Shitos and to talk and learning, and that's Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. So in the times before the Gemara was written down, Shimush Talmidei Chacham was Gemara. That was the definition of Gemara. I once I picked up Rav Shachter from the airport to bring him home. Once I dafka wanted to drive him that night. It was I was having a surgery the next day, and I didn't tell anyone about the surgery, so I just felt like I wanted to be in his presence a little bit before the surgery. So I was on the chat of, you know, people, available people to give rides. So I picked him up and brought him back to Washington Heights. And as he was getting out of the car, he said, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. And I said, what did I do? You know, he said, you shouldn't be driving me. This for the, you know, this for the Talmidim. You know, going out of your way and driving to the Heights. I said, Rabbi, I'm insulted. I am a Talmud. And he said, no, you know what I mean? It's for the younger Talmidim that you shouldn't be doing this. So I said, Kadol Shimusha Yasir Mi Limudo. He said, no, that's not what it means. Kadol Shimusha doesn't mean you pick me up from the airport. Kadol Shimusha means that you spend time to pick up on the Hanhagos, to talk and learning, whatever, those kinds of things. It doesn't mean that you run errands for the Rebbe. It happens to be the easiest way to spend time with him is picking him up from the airport. You got him held hostage in the car, and you can, you know, so Shimusha Mi Chum, though, often the Gemara it means to learn Gemara. So the Gemara says someone who learns Mikra Mishnah and not Talmud, doesn't have a Mesorah from a Rebbe, doesn't spend time with Talmidei Chachamim, so such a person is an Ama Aretz. Wow, that means that we've just disqualified a lot of people from Zimun, right? If that's the definition of an Ama Aretz. So how do we pass in 8-way machlokas? So, you know, if it was anyone who doesn't put on tefillin, you know, it's a different. So the Gemara says halacha Rafuna halachas kacherim. The Rafuna paskins that we paskin like kacherim, that if someone learns Mikra Mishnah and not Mishamish Abicham, he's an Ama Aretz. That is a very high standard that we have. It's a much higher standard than we have for answering Amen to Brachos. It's a much higher standard that we have than we have for being mitzarif to a minion. Well, you count someone to a minion if they're not Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim, but for whatever reason, Zimun is on a higher level. Why is Zimun on a higher level? Probably based on what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's inappropriate for Talmidei Chachamim to be to participate in the Seuda unless they know exactly who they're sitting with and that they're sitting with worthy people. That is it's considered beneath the dignity of Talmidei Chachamim to share a Seuda, particularly because of the way, I would guess, because of the way Seudos happen when immoral people are having a Seuda. Seuda typically means wine, and what happens in Nichnas Yayin Yatzasod, what happens when people drink very often depends on what kind of person the person is to begin with. So it's inappropriate for Talmidei Chachamim and Am Eretz have a Seuda together. The way to demonstrate that you were koveya to be together for a Seuda is Zimun. That's the concept of Zimun. The concept of Zimun is Chabura. That's why men and women are not mitstaref to a Zimun, right? I mean, it has nothing to do with Dvar Meshavakdusha. You don't need a minion, and that's why three women eat together and they have a Zimun, right? That's the halacha is there. Women are allowed to participate in the Zimun. So Rav Willig explains to Mordechai, why is it, and Rav Shapta also explains, why is it that, I think they both say in the name of Salvation, why is it that that women are mitstaref to a Zimun, yet a woman and a man is not mitzarif to a zimun together. They don't make three. If a man is good enough to have a zimun and a woman is good enough to have a zimun, why can't a woman and a man? Because the whole point is that to be mitzarif together would seem to be inappropriate on a certain level. Now, within a family would not seem to be so inappropriate, but it's like a low pluk. Like that's the halacha, that women and men are not mitzarif to a zimun. It's fascinating about women and zimun. It's just a fascinating discussion because there is a machlokas rishonim whether women are obligated to be mezamin together when they have three women, assuming that there are no men there. If there are men and they're doing a zimun, there's no machlokas. A woman must participate by answering in the zimun. But when there's when there are no men there and women are eating together, machlokas rishonim. Some of the rishonim say that women are obligated in zimun. Other rishonim say it's rishus, not an obligation. There's no one that says that they're not allowed to do a zimun when you have three women eating together. Not a single rishon that says that, that I'm aware of. So it's either rishus or chiyuv. So the question becomes, what do you normally do in that situation when you have something where the two options are rishus or chiyuv? Let's say you're really frum. You're really, really frum. So what do you do when the two options are rishus or chiyuv? Of course you're machmir, right? Why not? You lose nothing by being machmir. Those are the two options. To say, I'm going to assume like the opinion that says Rishos. That means you're not so frum, meaning you're not so interested in being machmir in the halacha. For some reason, like it's v'nahapachu. You find in very, very frum people that when it comes to that inyan, I mean, I'm saying for some reason facetiously, I know what the reason is, but when it comes to that inyan, that people choose not to be machmir when they're very, very frum. And when they're not so frum, they're more machmir on that inyan. Well, that's backwards, right? That should not be the case. But sometimes people allow, fear or threats or whatever, you know, or other ashkafos or whatever it is to creep into their halachic decision making, and it shouldn't, you know. I don't think it should. Halachic decision making should be based on halacha. But anyway, I digress. Let's go back to our topic over here. So the Gemara says that how do you know if the person is an Amah Aretz? You know, how do you know if the person belongs in the Zimun? So the Gemara tells that Rabbi Bar Chama used to refuse to count Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa toward a Zimun. And then after Rami Bar Chama died, so Rabba said about Rami Bar Chama, I don't know if it was in the Hesped or not, but he said, I know why he died. It's because he didn't include Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa in a Zimun. So he deserved to die for not including a Hilagiyid like Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa in a Zimun. Let's assume it was not at the Levaya that he said that he wasn't asked to be one of the Maspidim. But that's what he said. So the Gemara says, but what do you mean? If someone is not Meshamer Simil Chamim, you're not supposed to be mitzarif him in the Zimun. So Rami Bar Chama did the right thing by not being mitzarif him in the Zimun. The Gemara says, no, he was wrong. Rami Menashe Bar Tachlifa was mishamish tamid chamim. Rami Bar Chama was just unaware that Rami Menashe Bar Tachlifa was mishamish tamid chamim. And he didn't do his research. He assumed the worst about a guy before doing his research. Okay, where we are right now, as far as where we're holding it in the shir, if you're passing the Shaila, who is right so far? The no longer Torah observant guest or the host? As far as can this person participate in the Zimun? The Shaila was, can he lead the Zimun? They had three people without him. They didn't need his participation. Okay, who's right so far? The host, Luchor, is right. Someone said the guest? What? They asked him. They said, are you Shomer Shabbos? He said, no. Did you keep Rosh Hashanah? No. He proudly said, I keep nothing.
They didn't ask him if he's Shomer Shabbos Tamid Chacham, though.
And they didn't ask him to talk to me at home. Okay, so the question is, even though it's black and white in the Gemara, the Rishonim quote a minhag to allow Amei Aretz to participate in Zimun. Rav Haigon is quoted by the Rashi, Masechus Brachos, Rabbeinu Hanan is quoted by Tosfos over there, that it's very common that Talmid Chacham and Amei Aretz join together for a Zimun. And Rav Shemaya, Rabbeinu Shemaya, quoted in Tosfos Rabbeinu Yehuda, that says that those who allow a child to join a Zimun should for sure allow an Am Aretz to join a Zimun. The question is why? What changed? Meaning, normally Rishonim don't say, we know what the Gemara says, but we're going to change it. You know, normally it's to explain the Gemara. So what changed? So Rishonim suggests two possibilities. Tosfos and Brachos Daf Mem Zayin suggests that we're afraid that if you separate from the Am Haaretz, so he's going to separate from the Jewish people, and that's not the intended result. You don't want him to go further away. You don't want to push someone further away. If he's going to say, look, I'm not welcome to join with Shomri Torah Mitzvos, so I'll make my own brand of Judaism. I'll start Reform Judaism or something else. I'll join, you know, somewhere where I am welcome. And we don't want that to happen. The other possibility, Tosin Chagiga Daf Chav Beis Amar Aleph quotes the sheet of the Ri, that who do you think a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to allow an Am Haaretz to join in the Zimun? Who's going to say about themselves they're a Talmud Chacham? Meaning, if the Halach is that a Talmud Chacham can't join with the Am Haaretz. So the question is it because we're concerned that the Am Haaretz is going to separate from the Talmud Chacham, or that the Talmud Chacham is going to separate from the rest of Klal Yisrael and hold himself up to be a Talmud Chacham? We shouldn't hold ourselves up to be Talmud Chachamim in all things. In certain things we should, right? In terms of the way we conduct ourselves publicly, to assume that people are, you know, they say that anyone who's wearing yam is automatically a Talmud Chacham as far as Chilul Hashem and public behavior and things like that. You know, for that we're for sure a Talmud Chacham. But for other things, mechitesi. So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Tzadi Tesef Gimel paskins that nowadays we join with an Am Haaretz in forming a Zimun. Okay, so things just turned completely on their head, right? We saw the Gemara, and the Gemara said that the host was right. And then we see the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, and everything flips around. Then an Am Haaretz is allowed to join a Zimun. Now the guest is right, but we're not done yet. Right, so let's follow this through one step further. Despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch is making, the Magen Avraham quotes from earlier Achronim that a person who's a Rasha Befarhesia and who violates Averus Befarhesia, and a person who's, and certainly Kal Vachomer, a Mumar, is not included in Zimun. A Mumar is someone who's rejected Yiddishkeit because he's no better than the Am Haaretz in the times of the Gemara. So even if you want to say our Am Haaretz are not the Am Haaretz that the Gemara was talking about, and that's why, you know, that would be a third explanation as to why the Rishonim were more permissive about allowing an Am Haaretz. You have to realize an Am Haaretz in the times of the Gemara, if you learn Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara has a whole Amud in Maseches Pesachim that talks about Am Haaretz and how we behave with Am Haaretz. So the Gemara says you don't travel with an Am Haaretz, you don't give business to an Am Haaretz, you don't look at an Am Haaretz, like very, very, and why don't you travel with an Am Haaretz? Because when you go to sleep, he'll kill you. Meaning like the assumption of what these Am Haaretz were like, it's not, you know, it's not like a guy who has trouble reading Chumash Rashi. You know, that's not what an Am Haaretz meant. An Am Haaretz meant someone who's a bad, bad guy who would, who is looking, you know, to destroy Talmidei Chachamim. So you could imagine that in times Rishonim they would say, our Am Haaretz are just mostly ignorant. You know, they just mostly aren't Torah educated. So that's a very different story. And that you can include in Zimun. But comes along the Magen Avraham and he says, but if someone is a Mumar, someone is an Over Averus Befarhesia, that brings you back to the Gemara's kind of Am Haaretz. That's just, not just someone who's ignorant, that's not someone who's sincere or whatever, that's someone who should not be included in a Zimun, even in post-Talmudic times. Mishra Brura quotes this sheet of the Magen Avraham in the Bir Halacha. He says, he makes point, the note of the point that we said before, that you see clearly that the dinim of Zimun are more chamur than the dinim of Davar Shabakdusha for a minion. Because Davar Shabakdusha, unless a person is in Chayrim, you count him toward a minion. But by Zimun, you see that it's a higher standard. In fact, the Bir Halacha even suggests that maybe this chumra only applies to a Zimun of three. But if you have a Zimun of Asara, he can count, because that's already Davar Shabakdusha. That's not just about the Tziruf. That already, when you mention Elokeinu, that's already Davar Shabakdusha type of thing. So now where does that leave us? Now we went in one direction, then in the other direction, and then somewhere in the middle. Magen Avraham gave us this like category of people who are over Averus Perhesia, Kalvachomer Amumar, right? So where does that leave us for our, let's say, non-religious Jews? So a typical non-religious Jew, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in a number of places, including in the Sefer Vizos HaBracha, which is a fantastic Sefer. Anyone wants to learn the basic Klalim of Hilchos Brachos? It was like, when I was in yeshiva in Kerem Yavin in 1995, it was like the classic. Now he's already come out with like 10 more editions of it and a whole second volume of Hashlamos in it. But it's a beautiful sefer. So I always found it fascinating. Anyone ever learn Vizos HaBracha just by show of hands? No? So in Vizos HaBracha, he quotes on almost every page, Echad Migdolei Hadar, without identifying him. That's Rav Eliashiv. How do I know it's Rav Eliashiv? Because in the introduction to the sefer, he says, Rav Eliashiv didn't want to be quoted by name on every page in the Sefer, so every time I quote Echad Migdolei Hadar, it's Rav Eliashiv. So all you have to do is read the introductions, like find replace, you know, Rav Eliashiv for Echad Migdolei Hadar. I shouldn't say find replace, I'm angry at work right now, but okay, so Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Vizos HaBracha that nowadays most Jews are considered to be a Tinuk Shenishba, and a Tinuk Shenishba can be counted in a Zimun. So the question is, this is a little trickier, because the Tinuk Shenishba means someone who didn't know any better, and you know, what do you want from him? He's Mechal Shabbos, but it used to be Mechal Shabbos was like a statement of a break from the Klal Yisrael, that I'm not a Jew, that even though, but now Tinuk Shenishba is someone who never, he was brought up to believe that all of these things are options. Shabbos is an option, Kashrus is whatever you want, it's all whatever, you know, as long as you're involved in Tikkun Olam, you know, everything else is fine. That's the way he was brought up. He doesn't know any better. So that's a Tinuk Shenishba, a guy who's a yeshiva bachur who knows to say Mehechi Teisi, right? A guy like that, is that really a Tinuk Shenishba? That's not so pashut that's a Tinuk Shenishba. That's a Shana Upiresh. That's someone who learned. So some of the Achronim say, everyone's a Tinuk Shenishba. We live in such a world with so many Yetzer Haras and so many Taivas and so many, that even a person who's Shana Upiresh is really a Tinuk Shenishba. But that's a pretty big Kiddush to suggest such a thing, and when you need to say such a thing, maybe you would. But why would you ask the guy to lead the Zimun? It would seem inappropriate to ask him to lead the Zimun. Now, the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Chaf Beis, which says that someone who's not Shimish Tamil Chamim, it says we're choshish that if we stay away from them, then they're going to be Yakimu Bamali Atzmam. They're going to make their own religion. Meaning, if that's the whole reason, I mean, it may depend on why, what changed from the Gemara to the Rishonim. We said in times of the Gemara, you don't include them. Rishonim say, yes, you do. Why? So if the reason I include them in times of Rishon is because I'm afraid they're going to go build a Bamali Atzmam, they're going to make their own religion, that's not a concern anymore. The other forms of Judaism have already been created. What, this guy's going to come up with yet another? That's unlikely to happen. That's not really the concern, that he's going to build a Bamali Atzmam. That's, but if the concern is, who am I to say I'm a Talmud Chacham? That certainly still applies. So may go back to that Machlokas Rishonim as to why it is that we don't include Amei Aretz in Azimun. The mistake that these people made was offering him in the first place. Nothing would have been lost if someone else at the table would have just said Rabbi Sain of Reich, and you know, they just would have carried on from there. But to dafka offer him and then pull it out front to insult him, that's like dafka going out of your way to insult him. At that point, it may be kedai, once you've already offered it, to rely on those poskim that assume that everybody's pretty much a Tinuk Shenishba. But before that point, certainly one should have been chora, I would think. One should have been much more machmir and not have offered him to lead the benching in the first place. Okay, with that we will conclude. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. And thank you, Zoomers. Okay.